The Lord be with you. You're listening to a podcast from the teaching ministry of Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community. For more multimedia content or to get more information, go to www.epiclesis.org. Now, here's Pastor Chris.
Turn, please, in your Bibles to 1 Samuel. That's immediately before 2 Samuel. I was thinking this week about Samuel and the story of Samuel, the person of Samuel, and the things that he has in common with Jesus. So let me just set up the story just a little bit for you, although I think you probably know this story very well. And then let's talk about some similarities between Samuel and Jesus. Samuel comes at an important, pivotal time in the children of Israel. He's coming at the end of the judges and the beginning of the monarchy. Remember that it is to Samuel that the people say, "What we really need is a king like all those other nations." And so Samuel follows Eli, and depending upon how you count it, Samson, Eli, Samuel, those are the last of the judges. And Samuel is, I guess, like David, if I can throw that one in, a boy after God's own heart. Samuel comes at an important time, and you're going to hear one of the most painfully sad verses in all the Bible here in just a minute. But I want you to think about that. Samuel coming at a very important transitional stage in the life of the children of Israel, transitioning from, in some ways, what God wanted the nation to be, a kingdom of priests where he was the king, and they were the followers. They were the ones who were to change the world. And through these prophets and priests and judges, he was going to live and work and move among them. Now we're coming to a time where the people say, you know what, it'd really be great. We want to be like everybody else. We'd like to have a king. So transition in the nation. I'm also thinking about the way worship is changing in the nation at the time as well. So forever and ever, the children of Israel are running around in the desert with the tabernacle. They come into the promised land. The tabernacle goes to Shiloh. If you remember your Bible's history, the Ark of the Lord is there and stays at Shiloh for some time. But as the nation grows older and as time marches along, worship at the tabernacle becomes less and less important. And as you will see, or I hope that we can at least touch on a little later, the ark itself is going to disappear for a while, and it becomes less and less important as well, I suppose. They begin to appreciate it less and less as time goes on. So the nature of worship is changing, it would seem to me as well. And along comes Samuel. Now, I want you to think a little bit what you know about the story, and let's talk about some parallels between Samuel and Jesus. Think about this just for a second. Put on your Bible scholar hats. And let's talk about some similarities between Samuel and Jesus. Can you think of any? What do you know about Samuel? What do you know about Jesus? And are there some similarities? Yes. I've written a few, but I'll bet you have some too, yes? I hope you were able to hear what she said. His birth was unusual, like Jesus' birth was unusual. Let's camp out there just for a minute. Samuel was born to a mother who had not conceived before, and she conceived because God intervened. Remember, she prayed for a child, and she did so at the tabernacle. That was the story, if you will recall, that Eli saw her praying there and thought she was maybe a little crazy or had something to drink or whatever, her lips were moving, but he didn't hear anything. And no, she was praying for a child. So Jesus was born to a virgin, and she conceived by means of the Holy Spirit. Good, what else? I just thought of this one. Samuel was given over to the Lord and was to serve there at the tabernacle in Shiloh as a son given to God. Jesus is the Son of God, given for a particular purpose as well. I remember that wonderful time when Jesus was to be found at the temple precinct, and his parents said, in effect, "What are you doing?" And he said, "What, you didn't realize? This is where I'm supposed to be. I'm supposed to be ministering. I'm supposed to be about my father's business." Samuel was not raised by his biological father. Samuel was raised by Eli at the tabernacle. And Jesus, in his humanity, was not related to Joseph, the man who raised him. Jesus was conceived by the overshadowing of the Holy Spirit over his mother. Samuel seems to appear out of nowhere. Just in the nick of time, Samuel comes along. And he left no proper heirs to the office of high priest. He did not come out of the line of Aaron, though he did come out of a line of Levites. But remember, not all Levites are priests. All priests are Levites, but not all Levites are priests. And Jesus seems to come out of nowhere, just in the nick of time, dedicated to service at an early age, like Samuel. Samuel's parents were blessed at the tent of meeting for the choices that they made with respect to Samuel. If you look at 1 Samuel 2:20, you'll see that they are blessed. And so Joseph and Mary also come to the temple. They bring Jesus to the temple. And one interesting little highlight is shortly after the death of Eli's sons, there's this episode where the ark of the Lord is stolen by the Philistines. Do you remember this story? The Israelites were about to go into battle, and they were afraid they were going to get whipped. So they said, let's take the ark over there, and that'll automatically help us win the battle. And no, the Philistines flogged them and stole the Ark of the Covenant. And it was at that time that one of Eli's daughters-in-law, who had been married to one of his no-count sons, named her child Ichabod, which means no glory, because she said, the glory of God has departed from the tabernacle. With Jesus, the ark, Mary, is sometimes referred to as the ark, who conceives and bears Jesus. Jesus and Joseph and Mary come to the temple where he is dedicated. And in some ways, the glory of God returns to the temple with Jesus. Everything comes full circle. I think that's a fascinating little nugget. Samuel is a priest and a judge. He becomes a high priest. Jesus is the ultimate priest, prophet, king. Samuel's sons do not continue as priests. Samuel is the first and last priest to be a prophet. Jesus is the only high priest, and he leaves no heirs because he is the ultimate priest and prophet. Tabernacle worship seems to be fading away as Samuel becomes more prominent. Temple worship did not stop during the life of Jesus, but it had become soulless and no longer truly represented him. God raised Samuel from the dead in a way. Do you remember the story where Saul wants to go inquire of the witch of Endor? Endor is not Star Wars, it's the Bible. And so in this unusual scene, somehow the spirit of Samuel is conjured forth to give advice, and he's startled by this. If you read the account, he doesn't seem to know what's happening. God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Samuel was accepted as a prophet and priest and as a kind of ruler, but was rejected when the people wanted a king. Think about that one just for a second. Samuel was accepted as a prophet and as a priest and as a kind of ruler, but is ultimately rejected and warns the people what's going to happen if they follow through with their desire to have an earthly king. They reject Samuel. And now think about our Lord. Jesus, who is a king, is rejected by his own people, though he is the ultimate prophet, priest, even, yes, Messiah. We also get in another place that Samuel grew in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. There's a very similar verse that we learn that it's the same way with Jesus, yes, right? And we also see in Samuel's case that his mother sings this beautiful hymn of praise to the Lord. We get the same thing with Mary in the Magnificat. There's so many wonderful parallels. And so Samuel comes along just in the nick of time, just when the people needed him most. Chapter 3 of 1 Samuel. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. That's that sad verse I was telling you about. Does that rip out your heart? In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. I wonder how much of it was God not speaking, and how much of it was the people were distracted. Because I don't believe for a minute that God was not at work. But it says that the word of the Lord was rare. What part of it? The part that he speaks or the part that we can hear? And there were not many, what? visions. People are not hearing, people are not seeing. I wonder if they could have had any of the distractions that we talked about a minute ago. Samuel, by the way, means heard of God. Heard of God. When his mother named him, she rejoiced that God had heard her prayer and names him heard of God. It's, I think, a bit of a foreshadowing about the kind of relationship that Samuel has with Yahweh, because he hears from Yahweh. Eli, who means high or ascended, it says, whose eyes were becoming so weak that they could barely see. Oh, golly, let that sink in a minute. Here is the high and ascended one. Here is the priest. Here is the judge. And it says what? His eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see. Wow. I don't think for a minute that that only has to do with physical sight. Because the word of the Lord is rare in that day. And there aren't many visions. He was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple, other translations, tabernacle. We do not yet have a temple. We're still talking about the tent of meeting, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Stop right there just for a second. Do you see the big drama that is going on? How many verses is that? How many did we just read? What, three or four? In three or four verses, you've got this incredible drama where the writer says, you know what? I want to take you to a time where the word of God is rare. I want to take you to a time when there aren't many visions. And I want to introduce you to a high ascended one who doesn't see very well. And so what does Yahweh do? He calls to one who can hear. Are you with me? Then the Lord called Samuel. Oh, I can't go on. Is God calling you? What's God saying to you? I want to take you to a time where the word of God is a little rare and people aren't hearing many things from the Lord. I want to take you to a time where God's visions are not seen. And I want to introduce you to John Henderson. The high, the ascended one, they're not seeing very well. So God called Christy Frequencher because she can hear from God. And Samuel answered, verse number 4.5, here I am. And he ran to Eli and said, here I am, you called me. Precious boy assumes that his fatherly mentor figure is the one who's calling to him in the night. And Eli said, ah, I immediately recognize that this must be something spiritual that's happening. This must be from the Lord. I'm getting a vision. Is that what he says? Nope. He said, I'm sleepy. That's my translation. God's word says, I did not call. Go back and lie down. Oh, I wonder how he said that. We don't get vocal inflection in the Bible. We don't know how he did it. But if it's in the middle of the night, probably very early in the morning, it wasn't, no, it was not I. Go and return thou unto thine bed. I can imagine it was, what? No, it wasn't me. First time. Verse number 6. Again, the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, here I am, you called me. And Eli says, no, I did not call you. Go back and lie down. Now this verse number 7 is precious to me. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. Did you notice that God calls Samuel before Samuel knows the Lord? That's a really interesting little tidbit to me. God's calling, God's reaching out, God's getting his attention, God's speaking to him, and this boy Samuel, heard of God, is hearing God. Yet he does not know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. Number 8, the Lord called Samuel a third time, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, here I am, you called me. Then there's a face plant. There's got to be like a Eli realized that the Lord, Yahweh, was calling the boy. Finally, the high and ascended one gets it. He finally understands. Was the word of the Lord rare in Eli's time because God wasn't speaking, or that he didn't get like 2/3 of the messages? I think it's because he's sleepy and, as we will learn later, fat and doesn't see very well. Obviously doesn't hear very well either. Ironic that God is calling and the boy who does not yet know the Lord is hearing and responding, and yet his mentor, who's supposed to be tuned in, is as dumb as a bag of hammers. That's pretty dumb. So Eli told Samuel, look here, go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Say that with me. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood there calling as at the other times, Samuel, Samuel. Circle that if you haven't already. God speaks his name twice. I think that's significant, and we'll end there in just a moment. And little Samuel said, can you imagine? Can you imagine what that had been like? Little boy, what, 12 years old, in his little place there at the tabernacle, probably used to this kind of thing, at least the daily duties and so on. He's lying in his little bed at night, Star Wars sheets pulled up to his chin. Would there have been Star Wars sheets? No? Okay. Ten Commandment sheets. And Samuel is lying there and he hears God. How precious is that? A 12-year-old little boy. And God says, Samuel, Samuel. And then Samuel said, I think this is the way he did it, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Maybe he did it boldly. We don't know. But we do know that he answered. We do know that he heard and he responded. And if you read the next few verses, you see that the Lord God gives this little boy a heap of really rotten news. And the news is, I'm going to judge Israel. I'm going to judge the high one, the ascended one, Eli. There has been sin in this family, and that I told him I would judge his family because of this sin, and I'm going to keep my oath. Verse number 14, therefore I swore to the house of Eli, God speaking, the guilt of Eli's house will never be atoned for by sacrifice or offering. What a dreadful message. Been entrusted to this little boy. And Samuel lay there until morning. I'll bet he didn't close his eyes. And then opened the doors of the house of the Lord. And he was afraid to tell Eli the vision. But Eli called him and said, Samuel, my son. And he said, here I am. And in the next few verses, you see that Eli says, whatever the message is, you got to go ahead and tell me. Don't hold back. Tell me. And so this little boy, who does not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord has not yet been revealed to him, except it seems to be starting to happen right now, tells Eli all that is going to happen, and Eli's response is, he's the Lord. Whatever is good to the Lord is good for me. Let him do what is good. Look at verse 19. The Lord was with Samuel as he grew up, and he let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel from Dan to Beersheba recognized that Samuel was attested as a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord continued to appear at Shiloh, and there he revealed himself to Samuel and his word. And yet his activity was terminated when the people, demanding a king, rejected him. If you go a little farther, you read the story. I recommend that you do if you haven't already. You read the story where the Philistines capture the ark. You read the story where Eli's sons die. You read the story where Eli falls backward and breaks his neck. It talks about how he was very heavy. He and his sons had gotten fat and sassy. And so God says, I've got somebody else in mind. I want to ask you today, what distracts you from hearing from the Lord? Samuel heard from the Lord, but then was a little bit afraid to give the message. Maybe there's that. Maybe you're so busy that you never slow down long enough to hear what God has to say. Maybe the word of the Lord is rare in your life these days, not because He isn't speaking, but because you're not tuned in to the right channel. I don't for a minute believe that God is not speaking to you. I don't for a minute believe that God is not active in your life. But I believe that if you're anything like me, there's probably 127 distractions that keep us from seeing it. Beloved, when we come to church on Sunday mornings and you have the opportunity to tell where God is at work in your life and where you have seen Him do something or where you have heard His voice or seen a vision or had a marvelous dream, you need to jump to your feet. Well, you don't have to do that, but you sure do need to respond. Because I'd hate to be the one who used to handle the things of God and used to hear God and used to understand His word and see visions, and then the word of God becomes rare. I don't want to be that person. I want to be a Samuel. You need to be as well. I told you I'd close with this. It's interesting that you go back and look where God calls Samuel, and that final time, the third one, He says, Samuel, Samuel. Did you know that there are seven places, at least that I can find in Scripture, where God says the name twice? Think about that just for a second. The one that I'm thinking about is Abraham, where God makes covenant with Abraham and says, Abraham, Abraham, calls him out. And then fast forward a little bit, think about Jacob. Jacob was called. Jacob had a purpose. Jacob was flawed. But God calls out to him in a vision, Jacob, Jacob. It happens to Moses at the burning bush. Moses, Moses. It happens to Samuel. We go forward a little bit into the New Testament, and we see it with Martha. Mary and Martha, Jesus comes to the house, and Martha is scurrying around doing stuff. She's probably checking her email and worrying about all the stuff that she has to do in her agenda for the day. And Jesus says, Martha, Martha. Another couple of times, it happens to Saul on the road where he has this vision, and God calls out, Saul, Saul. And remember that he gets a name change too. It also happens to Simon Peter. Jesus is giving him a directive and a calling. And he says, Simon, Simon, feed my sheep. You know what connects those stories? All of them are callings. All of them are a place where God's calling somebody to something new. There's an important pivotal change happening. And God has a calling to a new way of life for Martha, a calling to a commission for Saul, a calling to preach for Simon. All of them are getting a calling. I'm going to ask you to be listening tonight. You can start right now. But I want you to be listening tonight in your little bed with the Ten Commandment sheet pulled up. And you say, speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. Are you listening? Are you tuned in? Samuel didn't even know the Lord yet. He was 12. And God just might be saying, Jesselyn, Jesselyn, or Sheila, Sheila, Norm, Norm, Jim, Jim. Let's be a congregation that hears, perceives, shares, does quickly. Because He's calling. Heavenly Father, I pray that You would give us ears to hear where You are speaking. Give us eyes to see where You are at work. Give us dreams and visions that are from You. And Lord, whether we're in the middle of our day with busy stuff, fighting off all the distractions, or whether we're on our beds at night or in our car, Lord, help us to shut up and slow down and listen. Speak the word, and Your servant will hear. And Lord, I pray that You would also give us a calling Let us be blessed to hear our name called twice by you, and give us a calling and a task and a mission and a commission. And Lord, show us what you want us to be doing. And then I pray, Lord, that we would catch the enthusiasm of a mission that you've given to one of our brothers or sisters and also join them in it. For we love you and we want to hear from you. In the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You've been listening to a podcast from Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community. If you'd like to learn more about Ancient Future Faith or worship at Epiclesis, visit us on the web at www.epiclesis.org. The Lord be with you.